WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It's going to be quite a month around here. The Maryland Lottery sponsors our Maryland Crab Cake Tour, but here's the problem. I've had some scheduling difficulties this week, not knowing if the Orioles are playing wild card games, ALDS games. So it's a little bit on hiatus. We're going to get some crab cakes in here in October. I'm waiting on the settling of all things calendar for our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, and of course Jiffy Lube, our newest sponsor. As we turn the week here, Orioles Ravens, Ravens Orioles, certainly for one Sunday, the Ravens had a chance to beat the Colts, had lots of chances to beat the Colts on Sunday. It did not happen in the end. A very, very unlikely outcome on a really strange day with weather and rain and 50-yard plus field goals all over the place. Matt Gay outpointing Justin Tucker at the end. Luke Jones here to talk about it. He will be monitoring all things Orioles all week long as we get a clinchmas around here at home, maybe against the Nationals, probably against the Red Sox. Luke, what a week and what a strange Sunday. Tickets were $10. People didn't want to go to the game. It was rainy out. And then, the Ravens sort of slept enough long enough to lose the game. And I stand shocked that they lost the football game on Sunday, Luke.
Well, it's a reminder to everyone that it's a week-to-week league. We forget it every year, right around this time. And after week one, where the Ravens were unimpressive for the most part offensively, they go to Cincinnati, down so many starters, and they play so well, right? I mean, they beat the Bengals, and the offense, the passing game, Lamar Jackson, everything looked as advertised, as hyped over the course of the spring and the summer with the new offense under Todd Monken. And I would disagree that it was sleepy. They came out and started fast. They looked like a continuation from Cincinnati over the first couple drives. Touchdown on the opening drive for a second straight week. They're marching down the field. Lamar Jackson completes passes to Mark Andrews and Kenyon Drake just re-signed to the practice squad. And lo and behold, he coughs up the football just outside the red zone. From that point in time, the offense, which started so fast, then it went into whatever you want to call it, sleep, sloppy, whatever. It just wasn't very good for most of the remainder of the game, save for a touchdown drive. And, they were able to get a field goal. But I mean, it was ugly after that first 15 plays. I think they gained 133 yards. I mean, they moved the ball well. Lamar
Well, Lamar
Jackson
was 10 for
started off
10
well.
to start the game, right?
But that fumble, I mean, it really changed things. I mean, I was thinking at that point in time, as Kenyon Drake catches the short pass and runs for 20 some yards, at that point in time, I'm starting to think this game's looking much more like a blowout than what we ultimately got. And that fumble changed everything. And that's not to say that there weren't critical and pivotal plays and mistakes and shortcomings and breakdowns with offense, defense to a lesser degree, but not like it was a perfect defensive performance by any means. Special teams, once again, left something to be desired. And just an absolute coaching snafu with what happened after the safety, with no one alerting Zay Flowers to not make a fair catch and essentially give the Colts an extra timeout right before the 2-minute warning there. So, I mean, there was plenty of blame to go around. But as you pointed out, I mean, this was a game the Ravens should have won. This is a game that, considering the elements, while it wasn't a monsoon by any stretch of the imagination, and the rain mostly subsided after that opening quarter, which team looked like the team that wasn't used to playing in the elements? The Ravens were the team that put the ball on the ground multiple times and didn't do well, whereas Indianapolis, for the most part, took pretty good care of the football, and you wouldn't
With a
expect that.
backup quarterback, too. I mean, but the
Exactly.
part for me in the beginning of the game, it felt like Indianapolis was going to struggle to get a first down. Felt like they weren't going to move the. I mean, the Ravens defense can be pesky, especially if they get after you. If you're not pass blocking against this group specifically and McDonald drawing it up, I mean, Kyle Hamilton had a career day, right? If you can get a special player like that loose to be a game wrecker, Kyle Hamilton wrecked their game at various points, and they still lost. I'm still scratching my head about all of it. But certainly the coaching decisions, leaving the 3 seconds on the clock that created a second timeout, not getting a first down when they needed a first down late in the game, and then sort of the aftermath of the injuries continuing to pile up. I don't know how close we are to getting Marlon Humphrey back. I don't know where we really are with Stanley or Linderbaum or Odell Beckham, but now you can add Rashad Bateman to that list. You can add Gus Edwards to that list. And part of this is you have to – they're 2-1, right? And to your point, right, they play great on the road against the big division team. Now they're – and I wrote this in my column this week, a columnist, about 3 being the magic number, 3 seconds left. The Orioles' magic number is 3, right? They're gone for 3 weeks. I mean, they're playing – the biggest of big games, division road games. Like, these are the ones that make or break you. As we found out, we played Tampa last weekend. There's a 2-game swing when you play each other, right? And this next month, they're going to be away, and the Orioles are really going to own the stage here 8 days a week until they're eliminated or until they win a World Series. We've really never been through this. I saw everybody buying tickets last week and how much the I had the tickets up on my screen. I'm like, I'm not giving them $600 today. Not today. Maybe 4 weeks from now if I feel it for game 6. But the Ravens send-off in this, on sort of a sleepy day with a lot of empty seats, people watching the baseball game, you're watching the we're all sort of watching the baseball game. That's the weird part for me. The weird part for me is caring more about the baseball game than the football game for, like, maybe the first time ever. And sort of, to some degree, just thinking like they'll figure it out and they'll win. And then you look up and you're like, oh my God, they lost. They're not 3-0. And now they got to go on the road. It changes the trajectory of the season, what happened to them. But more than that, 3 on the road anytime in a row is a lot. Now, they might come back 5-2. I mean, they're good enough. The pass rush can get there. The quarterback's all world. But who's going to play? I mean, like, they're really as injured as they've ever been at the end of a September. I mean, they got to get healthy if they're going to be any good at all this year.
I mean, the one thing I would beg to differ a little bit about injured as ever, it's not as though they've lost so many guys to season-ending injuries. I mean, 2 years ago, they look how many guys they lost before.
I'm talking about the guys on the field just this week, not guys who are gone for the year.
No, I understand that, but I'm not comparing this year to 2 years ago when you look at the magnitude of players they had already lost for the entire season. The one saving grace with what they're dealing with right now is they're not dealing with a number of long-term or season-ending injuries. Okay, they've lost Dobbins. They've lost Ardarius Washington. I get it. Marlon Humphrey's been out since mid-August. He's close to coming back. Now, I don't know if that's going to be in Cleveland or Pittsburgh, let's say. But the point is, the rest of these injuries are of the nagging variety. But I'm glad you brought it up, because part of what we need to remember here, you're never as great as you look in your best performance, and you're never as bad as you look in your worst performance. And I think this was a reminder again of it being a week to week league. Everything that went so well in Cincinnati a week ago, okay, they're not that great yet. Everything that went poorly on Sunday, specifically, I mean, I put most of it on the offense. Again, the defense gave up too much on the ground, no doubt about that, but still, they gave up 19 points in regulation. I mean, you still can't fault that too much, even though it was a backup quarterback, as you mentioned. But
and it took 50-yard field, 4 of them, to get there.
Exactly. And it was a reminder of what it's like to play another team that has a kicker who can do things like Justin Tucker does on a regular basis. I mean, the Ravens have been the benefactor of that for over a decade now, and they were on the other side of it for once.
Yeah, but, and defensively, when you're like on 4th-and-something from the 30 or 40-something yard line, defensively, you've done a pretty good job. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I mean, it's not the same thing. You know, I wouldn't call that a win over and over and over, but it's not this bad loss. It's not as though, wow, they just marched 80 yards on us again. I mean, it wasn't really like that, but I'm glad you pointed it out. And this is where we need to recognize this. This team's really banged up. They're hurt. They had multiple starters out last week, and they played so well, and they had showed such impressive mettle. But the reality is, they were even more injured this week, and then they lost some guys over the course of the game. I mean, David Ajabo only played a few snaps. They were leaning on a rookie, you know, in Tavius Robinson, and a former practice squad player in Jeremiah Moon in their outside linebacker rotation. I mean, that's just not ideal, even against Indianapolis, even against Gardner Minshew. So That's not an excuse. And look, they made too many mistakes. They had self-inflicted errors that cost them dearly in every phase of the game at different points in time over the course of 60 minutes. But we can't just be dismissive and say, well, next man up, next man up, next man up. I've said to you for years, you get to a point with next man up that it's little more than a t-shirt slogan when you're talking about missing as many starters as they missed.
Well,
it
I saw
means
95 running around. I'm like, who the hell is that? And I guess, you know, since Chad took my press pass, I don't even have a flip card. I had to, who's 95? I mean, like, and I, that's when 95's making plays out there running around in week three. You have to say this was not the plan. This is not the way this was drawn up 4 weeks ago in training camp.
No, and again, it's not to give them a full pass, but it is part of the conversation here, right? I mean, you're only going to endure so much. Now, I'll point out, unlike the last couple years at the end of 2021 where they had the losing streak, and last year they did have their franchise quarterback on the field, and we saw Lamar Jackson running the ball and making magic with his feet, but you know, the passing game, while the completion percentage was good, they didn't push the ball down the field. They didn't really push the ball downfield much at all. And that's something that we saw last week. And that's something that, you know, they were efficient and they were able to push the ball down the field and they were able to make plays through the air. And I get it. You're not going to, certainly the elements were not in line for Lamar to have a 350-yard, four-touchdown passing day, but they didn't do a whole lot, especially after those first two drives when, you know, the second one was short circuited with the Drake fumble. But, you know, you just look at, and I kind of begin with the offensive line here. They held up so well against Cincinnati. They played so well without Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum. And, you know, we talked about it. I know I talked about it with Dennis previewing Sunday's game. That's a Colts front that is pretty good. Defensive line, linebackers, as much as you kind of view Indianapolis through the lens of, okay, they have a rookie quarterback and a new head coach, and they're coming off of this lousy year. It's not as though the cupboard was entirely bare with certain positions. Now, do they need some more skill talent on either side of the ball, whether you're talking about wide receiver, tight end, you know, running backs, although Zach Moss had a really impressive day. And on the flip side, their secondary is nothing to write home about. In fact, a guy that was listed as a starting corner on their depth chart was a healthy scratch. He was benched for Sunday. So it kind of shows you where they are there. But the reality is the Colts, you know, more so than your typical team picking in the top five and drafting a quarterback, you know, it's not as though they were completely devoid of talent. Now, that said, the Ravens still should have won the football game, even with their injuries. And that's where we go back to how this game completely changed and shifted after the Drake fumble. I mean, they had good mojo going early in the game, you know, forced two punts, opening drive touchdown. They're moving again, approaching the red zone. You turn the ball over and you know, they never really recovered from that. You know, they, not to say that they were blown out or anything like that, of course, but they didn't find that same level of play the rest of the way, certainly on offense. And defense, as we said, they gave up a little too much on the ground. No question about that.
What's the cautionary tale? You left a bad team with a backup quarterback on a rainy day. You gave them hope. You gave them the football. You made mistakes. You missed opportunities. You threw behind receivers all day. You put the ball on the carpet. You did everything you could do to allow them to kick a 60-yard field goal and beat you.
Yeah, coaching mistakes. Punt coverage was not good on a number of occasions. Jordan Stout, for as well as he punted at times, had a pretty lousy punt at a bad time late in the game. So, I mean, it just
and mistakes the Colts made, not fielding the ball. I mean, just there were a lot of mental mistakes. I'll tell you one thing, Gus Bradley, I mean, didn't appoint himself great as a head coach in the situation he was in, but you know, as a coordinator and putting a game plan together to run around with, you know, mediocre talent and chase Lamar Jackson around all day and say, all right, they don't have Dobbins. They don't have Beckham. Look out. Bateman's not in there. They don't have their left tackle. They don't have their center. They're trying to use the fullback as a pinball. And sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't work. But it felt like the Ravens didn't have a lot of dimensions for the offense to that degree to be able to go down the field, to be able to do what they wanted to do. And this should be troublesome that this unit sort of shut them down in this way. And the trouble for me is seeing McCary get turnstiled a couple of times. The center snap exchange on a wet day, it only takes one. You know, one mistake by the center, one mistake by the quarterback, one mistake by the running back. You've got three fumbles, and you've got a problem against a bad team.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll say what I just said. I mean, this is a good front. I mean, it is. If you didn't recognize that, you're not paying attention. I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general. I mean, DeForest Buckner is a multi-time Pro Bowl player. Grover Stewart, their nose tackle, is an accomplished player. Kwity Paye, you know, he, not saying he's an all-pro, but coming off the edge. And you have Shaquille Leonard at linebacker, a guy who's become a household name and, you know, kind of was forgotten last year because of a back injury and only played a few games. So this was not a front seven to take lightly. And I don't think the Ravens took him lightly up front. I think the offensive line's banged up and missing arguably its two best offensive linemen. That they were able to overcome that and play really well in Cincinnati. Not so much this week. So again, you come back to the injuries and areas where you think it's going to be a strength. And it ended up being a big struggle for them. And you throw in some blitzing and some pressures that were dialed up that Lamar Jackson and this O-line couldn't handle on that front. And, you know, you put the ball on the ground multiple times. I mean, again, this game looked like it was rapidly heading towards 14-0 late in the first quarter, you know, midway through the first quarter. And it changed after that. And they put the ball on the ground three more times over their next seven or eight snaps, whatever it was. I mean, you can't do that. And you're the home team, right? You're the team that's used to playing outdoors. You're playing a dome team. You know, that's...
Well, if I told you last week they lost to the Colts on Monday, you'd say they turned the ball over.
Sure.
That would be the only way they were going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, that's typically... When you're facing an inferior opponent on paper at home, that's typically how it's going to happen. Especially, you know, that... Maybe a special teams return touchdown, something along those lines. A couple weird things to happen. And again, this is where we need to have the proper perspective. As much as there's always the mindset that the sky is falling when you lose a football game of this nature, Indianapolis needed four field goals of 53-plus yards to beat the Ravens on Sunday. Let's keep that in mind. If Matt Cave misses one of those, we're having a different conversation where we're saying, eh, it was ugly. Wasn't a whole lot to write home about.
This survived it.
This certainly wasn't going to be the game that headlines the highlight video for the 2023 season, but we survived. Problem was they made too many mistakes, and it's where you do give Indianapolis credit where they made some big plays, and their kicker headlining that list of big plays when you're talking about, you know, a team that scored 22 points but five field goals to do it. Again, this is kind of – maybe not so much the Ravens of the Lamar era, but when you go back to the second half, you know, the post Super Bowl 47 Joe Flacco era, this is how the Ravens won a lot of games, right? I mean, they kick a lot of field goals and they play defense, and, you know, their offense made some plays, but wasn't great. You know, I mean Indianapolis kind of in some ways beat the Ravens at what the Ravens pride themselves in doing. You know, they ran the ball and their kicker had an all world kind of day. So that's not to say that anyone should be happy about this. And certainly the Ravens, they were shell-shocked. And I, you know, numerous players from Lamar Jackson to Kyle Hamilton kind of said, hey, this shouldn't have come down to Matt Gay making a field goal, a 53-yard field goal in overtime. You know, we had our chances and we didn't put the game away. And, you know, whether it was mistakes or even with the defense, where I would say that wasn't a poor defensive performance, but did they make the big play to end it? At any point, you know, the safety kind of felt like it was going to be right. I mean, that kind of felt, I think if you had asked, if you had polled fans in the stadium or anyone watching at home, 9 out of 10 would have said ball game right there. I think that's how it felt in the moment, but all it really did was precede a number of mistakes that they made from coaching to the offense doing absolutely nothing after that. And then the defense, you know, they gave up a couple big plays, you know, couple runs, you know, the long play downfield where Geno Stone got banged up, where, you know, it's just a phenomenal catch, but the Ravens didn't make that play to seal the game. You know, Indianapolis did. So give them credit, and it is back to the drawing board. But again, we cannot look at this list of injuries right now and not acknowledge that's a major part of the issue right now. I mean, it is, and they still should have won Sunday. Let me be clear. For anyone listening, I repeat, they still should have won on Sunday. But when you look at the list of injuries that they have that's continuing to grow on a weekly basis, I mean, they need to get healthy. And again, regardless of me saying that they're not of the season-ending variety, You said it. I mean, they have three straight road games. Cleveland looks pretty good so far. I get it. They're the Browns, and no one likes Deshaun Watson, and I don't care for him either.
Did you see that pass? That backwards pass that he threw? Lamar threw one left-handed out of bounds. I don't know what these guys get paid to take care of the ball. It's unbelievable decisions that are made as they're getting sacked, what they do with the football. And the Watson throwing the ball backwards thing was like, oh my God. I mean, I've seen guys do careers and not do that ever.
Yeah. But Cleveland looks pretty good. And you know, the Ravens are going to have their hands full going to Cleveland, and forget about Watson. Their defense has played really well. I mean, that's been a really good defensive start. So what have we seen from the Ravens offense through 3 weeks? Week one, choppy. Week two, excellent. Week three, good start. And then after that, it was way more bad than good. So, you know, what's their identity on offense? Well, it starts with you need to get Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Linderbaum back. And it's no offense to Patrick McCary, no offense to Sam Mustipha. They filled in admirably in week two. They're quality backup players, but they're backup players. And you need your $20 million left tackle out there. Unfortunately, we've been saying that a lot for 4 years now, you know, 4+ years now. And they need their first round center back out there. We'll see if it happens this week. You know, I don't think that these are injuries that are going to go on for many weeks after where we are right now, but you know, it hurt them on Sunday. There's no doubt about that. And as I said, you know, you can talk about next man up. You can talk about your depth. You've got to play clean football when you have backups on the field and you're lacking at certain positions. And there were just way too many self-inflicted mistakes from, you know, turnovers to coaching errors. I mean, let's just call it what it was. I mean, this is a team that John Harbaugh talks about this in a very generic way, you know, at the end of a win that, you know, might not be the most aesthetically pleasing. What will he say? We played winning football, and that's what matters. The Ravens didn't play winning football on Sunday, and they ended up losing as a result.
He is Luke Jones. You can find him in Owings Mills all week long, do a double duty as we get Clinchmas together around here. It's really weird because, like, when we used to be able to take phone calls, people could call and talk about whatever they wanted. Now you sort of either go down the orange path or the purple path, and certainly the orange path is paved a little better here and certainly much more in focus in the next couple of weeks as the importance of what the Orioles are trying to do as the Ravens quietly go off to Cleveland and play for 3 hours on Sunday and quietly go off to Pittsburgh and play for 3 hours and then very quietly sneak off to London with some fans playing at 9:30 in the morning. We're going to be at Hollywood Casino in Perryville for that, for really my 55th birthday is October 14th. It's the morning of the 15th, nice and early, proper British breakfast. We'll get you up in Perryville that day for the Titans game. Also, our Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with WinDonation, 866-90-NATION, and our newest friends at Jiffy Lube. We're getting that back on the road. I'll be giving you more details on that. I'm trying to figure out, don't think we're going to be a wild card. I think Luke and I might be going on the road with the ALDS either to Tampa or Toronto or Texas or Houston or Seattle, or it could be anywhere. The West is truly the wild, wild West. So as I was watching the Ravens and trying to keep an eye on the Orioles, I'm scoreboard watching the Rays and the Blue Jays. So whew, quite a week we have around here. It is our 25th anniversary. The cupcake out front should tell you that. That is all brought to you by Curio Wellness and our friends at Far and Daughter. Talking about cannabis education, we've had Wendy Bronfine on this week. But also, this top 25 countdown. We're on number 24, our barn shows, legendary barn shows. And later this week, we're going to be celebrating 25 years of community service. Money we've raised for Ed Block and juvenile diabetes, and There Goes My Hero, and all sorts of great causes, and canned food drives and coat drives. We'll be stacking all that up as we brag on ourselves a little bit here, 25 years into this thing. Luke's doing a great job doing double duty. I am in the cockpit for all things. Check out my column this week on the Magic 3 and the Magic 3 of 50-yard field goals on Sunday. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. Stay with us. Continuing coverage of all things Orioles and Ravens and Baltimore Positive. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, with fresh liners from Andy Mueller that make me chuckle.